Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to a very special episode of Who Knew?
So special, a caveman could do it.
Probably.
Probably.
If a caveman had TV.
That's true. And like Hulu.
Right. We're going to be doing what we normally do for bonus episodes, just for a regular episode.
Yes. And it is definitely
a re-release.
It's not a re-release. And it's definitely not because we forgot to do research.
Absolutely not.
No. Especially not
research
me.
Somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere, just not in our hands. But we are going to talk about this movie that we just recently watched. And would you say you're a fan of it?
No.
What?
You liked it?
I wouldn't say it was the worst thing we watched, especially after the one we watched last night.
Okay, the one we watched last night was like the lowest bar set for a horror movie. It was like indie Telluride Film Festival style where it's trying to be edgy.
And very artistic, right. And it's just fucking weird. And I hate when, like, movies are, like, I get, like, trying to be, like, psychological with, like, trying to, like...
It was, like, trying to do, like, Stanley Kubrick's Shining
style,
but it was way too much.
Have you ever seen Clockwork Orange?
Yeah.
So I was getting, like, Clockwork Orange vibes from that because, like, the very short snippets and, like, the color theory that was going on. Yeah. But, like, the CGI... that they had ruined it. And it's just
so
like,
bad.
Ugh. You spend so much time in detail in like the movie, but then totally, unimmersed the moment I saw anything CGI.
Yeah.
So, bummer. But we're not talking about that movie anymore. We're going to be talking about another movie. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The movie is called Room 203, which, as I said earlier, you can watch on Hulu if you have a subscription. According to just a Google search of the movie, that's the first subscription service that pops up.
You can get it on Amazon, too.
Yeah, you can on Amazon. Looks like you will probably have to rent it. You can buy it on YouTube. What did I just do? I accidentally clicked on Amazon. You can watch Vudu, Apple TV. So it looks like it's available to purchase. But Hulu is free with a subscription. So depends on your perspective of free. I'm not really... Oh, sorry. So it was released in 2002. It is a horror/mystery movie. It is about 1 hour and 43 minutes long. It does feel much longer than that, FYI, if you're into watching it. On IMDb, not EMDB.
EMDI.
What the fuck? It does have a rating at 4.3 out of 10. So that's not the greatest. And then for Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 60%, which isn't the worst thing I've seen.
That doesn't correlate well with the 4.3 out of 10.
No, it doesn't. Like, so. I feel like Rotten Tomatoes 60% is pretty average, just like grades are usually.
I feel like this is either, like, you're going to love it or hate it.
Yeah.
Kind of movie.
Totally. It looks like, according to Google, 58% of users liked the movie. So that's over half. So it's very collaborating with what you just said. So it was released on April 15th, 2022 in the United States. It is directed by Ben Jagger. In the box office, it made $361,497 worldwide.
That's not that
much. Yeah, and that's worldwide too. It's not just in the US. So throughout the world, that is how much it like made in US dollars. The music is by Daniel L.K. Caldwell, and it is produced by Ammo Entertainment. The cast consists of a bunch of actors and actresses that I had never heard of, but here's the thing, is like their performance was very good. I feel like the acting performance is really well. I feel like the writing, so the...
It was on par with 53% of people liking it.
Yeah,
53% good.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this movie kind of launches a kind of career for these actors. So our leads basically are two females named Kim White and Izzy Davis. Kim is played by Francesca Zurib, and Izzy is played by Victoria Vanyarska. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. And then our next famous, not so famous, I don't know why I said famous, our next runner-up is Ian, who is played by Eric Wigand. And then the next cast member that is on here is... who plays Tony, who is Quinn Nair. And then there's obviously a lot of other secondary characters, but those are the four that you see the most of. I think that's all I got. Is there anything else I should cover? Oh, it's not yet rated, so it's not, like, there's no rated R, nothing, it's not rated yet. I believe it's rated R.
I was gonna say, when did it come out?
In April.
Oh.
Yeah, it says here, it says not rated.
Huh.
I feel like this is definitely a viewer discretion. There's a lot of gore.
Yeah.
There's profanity. I'm pretty sure there's sex in there.
Yeah.
So, FYI, if you are wanting to watch this and you don't like any of those things, don't do it.
Yep, I agree with that.
Yep.
If you want to watch this and you don't want any spoilers, I would stop this episode now.
Stop now! Get out of here.
It was really difficult to find a good, like, summary of this.
Like an in-depth one?
That wasn't, like, half a paragraph long. So, I got this from dmtalkies.com.
Talkies, like the food?
No, T-A-L. K-I-E-S.
Oh, I see.
Like what you would call a modern movie.
Yes.
The talkies. Anyways. So, yeah, let's just get through this.
Yeah, like spoilers. Like we did
the movie. So, we start with the camera showing renovation work going on in apartment 203 of a grand old building. And we see a young worker whose name is Chad. We don't ever see him again, so I don't know where that name came from. He's trying to cover up this big hole that's in one of the walls as he's waiting around for his girlfriend Lena to get to the apartment to pick him up. At one point, he sticks his hand into the hole and gets all scratched up by something inside, but then he also pulls out a necklace that had this weird-looking amulet on it. Lena gets there. It's dark. It's evening. Her boyfriend gives her this necklace that he found in the wall. Puts it on her neck and opens up some beers. I guess they're having a little date night at the work site. I don't know.
That's the best place to fuck, didn't you know? As a construction worker?
At work.
Yeah.
Right. And then he's opening up a bunch of like bottles of beer, and all of a sudden all the bones in Lena's body start cracking and breaking. She shatters a beer bottle with her bare hands, slits her own throat with it.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Scene one.
Good was start. Like,
okay. Cut to Kim White, our lead. She's a young woman who's about to start college. Looks like she's in a new city, and she has decided to move in with a newly rented and renovated apartment with her best friend Izzy. Kim's parents aren't super supportive of it, saying that Izzy's past history with drugs and cases of overdose are a problem, and they warn Kim that they weren't going to keep in contact with her if she does actually move in. So they're like
cutting her off.
Yeah. Kim doesn't care, not because she isn't attached to her parents, but because she knows that her parents are making wrong demands out of their judgmental perspective. And she gets out of the car and moves in anyways. They get up to the building, and there's kind of a creepy looking man with a flat cap on his head. He introduces himself as Ronan. He's the landlord of the apartment and tells the girls what they can and can't do inside. The only significant information you get at this point is that they're not allowed to go to the basement of the building ever. And the fact that Ronan stays on the same floor as the girls' apartment, which was kind of weird. And the rest of the flats were totally empty.
You know what I think is interesting? How they like lay up foreshadowing of being like, don't go into the basement.
It's like, oh, when are we going to go to the basement?
Yeah, literally. I mean, like, I feel like it'd be way more scary.
In the basement.
Yeah, it'd be way more terrifying if, like, suddenly they just show up in the basement and, like, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So Kim and Izzy get to the apartment, and they are just mesmerized by this huge stained glass window that's in this apartment of theirs. Everything in there is kind of, like, vintage, which was cool.
Super cool.
They were talking about how cute it is. This stained glass was kind of creepy, though. It was just like a bunch of images of knights killing each other. Kim also sees a small but noticeable hole on the wall of her room, the hole that we saw before with Chad, and it was visible even with wallpaper that was like hung over it. She tries to cover it up by hanging a mirror over it, which doesn't work because the mirror either keeps like tilting or it just like it won't stay up, it falls. Over and over and over. So Izzy also sees this hole, which gets bigger and bigger as they try poking around with it, and she pulls out a necklace with an amulet on it. I bet we can guess where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Two best friends are having a good time, like, moved in together, super stoked about it, but Izzy is struggling with her past still, and these struggles start to come up. She finds it pretty difficult to cope with the loss of her mom to a drug overdose, which is seems to be, like, it seems to be that Kim has been unable to be with her during the funeral. Like, when her mom died, her parents wouldn't let her go to the funeral, so that was, like, a big hurdle in their friendship. And Izzy starts wearing this necklace that she found in the wall, which we know how that goes. And that starts kind of a bad habit of sleepwalking after she starts wearing this necklace.
Sleepwalking, you don't say.
Sleepwalking.
Sleepwalking. I think it's more like sleep ghosting because she gets all creepy.
Yeah, sleep demoning.
Yeah.
One might say. So Kim gets to college. She's there. She gets there late on her orientation day. But the orientation leader, Ian, helps her out anyways, gives her kind of a private tour of the campus. And it's revealed that Kim is a journalism student. She finds out that Ian is also a journalism student, and the two become, like, kind of interested in each other. Meanwhile, Izzy is back home. She's not going to school, so she's trying to figure out, like, what she wants to do, where she's going to work, all that stuff. She wants to be an actress, but she's having a pretty tough time looking for acting opportunities, and she keeps getting rejected every time she goes to, like, audition. And she ends up starting to drink quite a bit. Knowing Izzy and her life's difficulties and past experiences, Kim decides to write a paper in one of her courses about her about Izzy, and asks her professor whether she should take get permission to do this from her friend. And he tells her that it's not like you don't have to if she doesn't disclose her name or anything that would give off her identity or anything. Thing like that, so she doesn't mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the house, Kim wakes up one night by she gets woken up by a fluttering noise and sees a crow slither into the hole in her wall. Eek. Which has now grown and somewhat resembles a decomposing wound. It's gross.
It's the gross hole looking. Represents it, yeah.
Well, it looks like that.
Ew.
Yeah. She also earlier found a heavy metal music box with the names of some couple written on it. And now, this night, Izzy walks into her room holding the music box in her hand with blood spilling down from her head. So she's like, what the fuck?
Ugh.
Kim takes care of her, keeps her company that night. Izzy seems to be totally normal the next day, doesn't remember anything. Sleepwalking continues, and they get even scarier when she walks down into the basement that they're not supposed to be in, as if she's totally possessed. And Kim has to bring her back up to their room. One constant during all of this was the fact that Izzy was wearing the necklace every night that she's sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
Since they moved into the apartment, Kim often saw the landlord, that creepy guy Ronan, kind of creeping on them and watching what they're doing, and it was just super unsettling for him. Kim even tried to be friendly with him with just general small talk.
Mm-hmm.
He was bad at that, really awkward, and just stared at them every time she tried to do that, so not it was even creepier.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started reprimanding them for going down to the basement, obviously, not supposed to go down there, asked them to never go down again. Kim one day stumbles on the landlord having entered their apartment while they were out, and he's just in there staring at this stained glass. Kim shares all of this and also everything that's going on with Izzy to Ian, and he asks her to kind of look into it and investigate a little bit, as a journalism student does. He offers to help her too, and together they read up on the internet about a bank manager named Liam McNally who murdered his pregnant wife Karen before killing himself in the very same apartment. These are the same names that are inscribed inside the music box that Izzy's always carrying when she's sleepwalking. Kim meets up with a guy named Milton Briggs. He's the janitor who had reported the murder way back when, and he reveals that although Liam had chased and killed his pregnant wife, the boy, the kiddo inside her womb, survived, and she had possibly just given birth to him and then dad kills her. Milton is unable to say what will happen to that boy in the future. Ian does his own research into the images present on the stained glass mural, and he connects them to a set of Celtic pagan symbols, and finally to the Irish mythology figure named Morrigu. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Who often appears in the form of a crow and symbolizes death. Meanwhile, Izzy stumbles across Kim's paper that's about her, and they get super mad at each other. She's super mad that her best friend is like didn't even tell her that she's writing this paper about her, and thinks that she's trying to capitalize on all the shitty things that have happened in Izzy's life.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up leaving the apartment mad. Kim's frustrated also. She rips open the hole in the wall, and a shriveled up, nasty old hand from a dead body falls out of the hole. So right then, Ronan enters the apartment, abducts Kim, ties her up, and brings her to his own apartment. He's all pissed off and reveals that he is the long-lost son of Liam and Karen McNally. And the necklace that had been bringing curses upon everybody wearing it originally belonged to his mom. Everything he says after that can be summed up as Liam had probably gotten involved with some kind of dark magic or demon worship or something like that, which brought the curse of Morrigu onto the family. Morrigu needs to be provided with food, human bodies and souls and things like that.
Naturally.
And so basically Ronan was bringing people into this apartment knowing that Morrigu was going to kill them, eat them, do all that stuff, and it uses this cursed amulet to do it. So Izzy still has this thing on. Izzy comes back. She's part of it now. She's fighting back against the curse, and she's done pretty well until now, probably because like everything she had gone through before that made her like super resilient. Ronan was afraid that Morrigu was going to come after him if he didn't feed it. Mm-hmm. And so now he intends on killing both of the tenants and presenting them both as a sacrifice.
Ugh.
Then Ian gets involved, rushes to Kim's apartment. Fucking Ian. Doesn't find her at the apartment. Instead, Izzy comes in and seduces him, but then kills him. So that didn't go well.
I think that scene was very... It was just not very clear. Like, they're just, like, making out, and he's just like, no, please don't. And the next thing you know, like...
Dead.
He's just, like, not moving.
Yeah.
A little unclear, but, like, obviously yes. You get the point.
Right. It could have been better executed,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Kim manages to survive inside Ronan's apartment and ends up escaping, gets back to her own apartment. There she sees her dead boyfriend, also sees Izzy, still possessed, going down the stairs to the basement. Kim follows her, narrowly escapes the grasp of Ronan. Now they're in the dark part of the basement because the film tries to make itself too dark, as one I noticed. What do you think about that?
About what?
Seems like everything in there was too fucking dark. Like the lighting of this movie was fucking terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that was the whole point, because there's that one scene where like Izzy is like transforming into the demon lady, mm-hmm, and is like, it's like flashing lights and it's like super dark for a long time, and next thing you know that like she's like closer, which is like a very over executed like fear mongering.
Yeah.
No, mongering's not the right word, but like fear instilling movie. It's like, oh, 1 minute they're over there and the next minute they're right in front of you. So yeah. I think that was the whole point of it, but also like, yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I feel like they could have done something better with that kind of thing.
So Izzy is like shifting between like looks like Morrigu, and now she's Izzy, now she's Morrigu, now she's Izzy. She's like pleading with Kim to help her. Ends up approaching Kim to try and kill her, stabs her friend in the stomach, but just as she's about to finish her off, Kim rips off that cursed necklace from Izzy's neck, and it instantly gets rid of this curse. The two of them walk back up to their apartment with the intention of breaking the stained glass window, end up getting spooked by hundreds and hundreds of crows that were flying right outside the window. Kim finally gets up the courage to shatter the window by throwing the dead body hand that had fallen out of the wall.
If that's not poetic.
Through it. They end up escaping the apartment, go to the hospital. Everybody gets treated. Definitely no curse anymore. Right at the end, the camera ends up moving back to the empty apartment 203, closes in on a hole in the shattered glass window, and it's pitch dark, and you can see a faint kind of figure of the demon make an appearance before room 203 cuts to black.
Black.
And that's the movie.
What do you think?
I thought it was, like, trying to pull from too many, like, horror tropes to really be, like, all that original.
Like, it had me real good until it started getting to, like, this is the spooky ghosty that you're going after, or demon, or whatever. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
This is just like every other horror movie where it's like, oh, we have this demon. Now you know its name. Now we can take it down. It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. That is true. And I thought that, like, the music box and, like, the research that, like, Ian and, what's her name, Kim were going through. Mm-hmm. Was, like, very, like, half-hearted. It was, like, they would find a newspaper clip, and they're, like, oh, a clue. Like, it just seemed way too well-placed. Yeah, literally. Yeah. It was, like, oh, look, there's this thing. And then, like, he would ignore her and be, like, oh, look at what I found. And then she would ignore him and be, like, but look at what I found. And I'm, like, oh, my gosh.
And, like, none of it helped?
No, it just helped the, like, watcher to cue in as to what was going on. But, like, there was not a single, like, storyline that arose from that. There was not a point
where they were, like, we can defeat it by doing XYZ.
Yeah, no.
And then he just dies.
Yeah, and that was, like, a big bummer.
That was a huge bummer.
I don't think he should have died.
No.
I mean, I get that not everyone can live when you have such a limited cast. Like, someone has to die, but, like, kill one of the girls.
I'm surprised they didn't kill one of the girls.
Yeah. I'm very surprised. I imagined Izzy dying for sure since she was getting possessed, but...
It kind of makes me think of the prequel to Ouija, the Ouija Origin of Evil, where only the one sister survives and literally everyone else dies.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Spoiler.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they could have done a lot more if... I just think they were trying to be, like, too... interesting and, like, trying to put too much into it, didn't really execute it very well, especially, like, when it comes to, like, writing and pacing, because I think the beginning was paced really well and then the end felt a little rushed, but somehow the movie felt like it was 3 hours long, so
yeah,
it was weird.
Yep.
That's all I have. Nice.
I'm not surprised it did terrible.
It didn't do terrible. Mm-hmm. It's very half and half. I mean, it's only been a few months. What, like 6 months since it came out?
I feel like, you know, though, for most movies, like, within the first couple months, if they don't make over $1 million, that's a problem.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know.
It's
I'm not.
$300,000 it's made worldwide.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't know. I was not a fan.
Well, you have your opinion and I have mine, and okay. It's basically the same.
I feel like you liked it a little bit more than I did.
A little bit. I wouldn't, like, write it off, but, like, would I watch it again? No. Would I recommend it to somebody who's, like, I want a horror movie, but, like, nothing too scary? I would recommend this. There's a lot of gore in it, but it wasn't, like, terrifying, in my opinion. What do you... No.
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 No. It wasn't terrifying at all.
Okay.
Cool.
Cool.
Sick.
Sick.
You can find us on Instagram at Who Knew Podcast, and then you can email us at whonewpodcast666@gmail.com, or you can find us on Patreon. But if you don't want to go through all of that, just go to the Instagram. You can find our link tree there. Super easy.
So easy. A caveman could do it.
Yep. He had a phone.
Oh, he could figure it out, I'm sure. Okay, thanks. Bye.